When we're trying to motivate our children, sometimes we don't realize we use poor motivators, things that either damage the child or really don't help in the long run. Let's look at those today.
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. This week we've been talking about how to motivate your child. What's your motivation for motivating the child? Is it all about you? Really? Have you thought about that? Tuesday we talked about motivating effort more than outcome. Wednesday, joining your child and motivating them. We're going to do this together, not just you. And then yesterday, some very practical tips on motivating your child. But we've been talking about positive things to do. There's a lot of maybe negative things that we do that we don't even are not consciously aware of them.
There are. Here at Sheridan House, we have the privilege of five children's homes, and these are middle school age children, usually extremely low performers, academically especially, and some have run away. They're here for behavioral issues, but tied into that is their academic performance. And it's kind of amazing. Most of these kids arrive, a lot of them anyway, making all Fs. A lot of them haven't been at school in a long time. The irony is they leave making all A's and B's. And we have a very cool study hall area in each home with computers and everything. But people are always intrigued, and the school board was intrigued, and Charter School USA was intrigued, and Miami Herald was intrigued. What is that? How do they come? You know, they were intrigued by one child who came to us making all F's, left making literally all A's. Actually, he came to us making all F's and a D, left us after 14 months making all A's, and then went on to high school at Hollywood Hills High School, all A's, and got a full ride to the University of Massachusetts.
Wow.
And they were shocked. What do you do with these kids academically? And we don't. But we retool the motivation because they have been motivated with very poor motivators. And they've been told they're stupid, and they'll be told you'll never amount to anything. And they'll be told, you know, just get to 16 and you can quit. Yeah. And they've also been a product of a lot of trauma in their home or their parents' divorce or whatever. And without realizing it, people use tools that were used on them. And even though they grew up and they said to themselves, when I'm a parent, I will never talk to my child like that. How could you be so stupid? You didn't even turn in that paper. You worked on it here and it says you didn't. How could you be so stupid? Well, that's not a great motivator.
Wow.
And after a while, do I begin to believe I am? And then do I gravitate to the other kids who have heard the same words over and over? Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, we're skipping school. And all of a sudden, we're not reaching our full potential. And we really believe every child here has a potential to be a leader and should be a leader. And every child has a potential here to reach their top level, but not by screaming at them and not by continuously punishing bad performance. Mm-hmm. We're going to reward good performance, but we're going to reward it the right way. So one of the things we're not going to do is we're never going to yell and scream. That's not the motivator. Now, someone will say, so your kids go to school and what happens? Well, when these kids go to school and if we have to catch them back up, we get a daily report from every teacher every day. We start with that daily report. And that daily report plays a part in their afternoon, and that daily report plays a part in when they go to bed at night. But also, the minute we see, and we expect a daily report to initially be horrible, and we start them off, okay, we need to work more on the academics. We're going to play a little basketball, but then we're going to work on the academics, and you don't get to stay up later like some of the other guys. All I want is effort. And the report has nothing to do with grades. Nothing to do with grades. Respect for authority. Homework done. I don't care what the grade is. In class on time and sitting somewhere near the front. All these different things are point earners. And all of a sudden, this kid is there. He's sitting down front, not with the idiots. He's turning in his homework and he realizes, I can do this. I'm pretty sure I can't make A's, but I can do this.
So on that list is not good grades.
There's no grade on that list. Respect for authority is actually the number one thing. In class on time is the number two thing. And in this, all of a sudden, they're getting a little bit better, earning some points in the in class on time is a five. You can get a five every time for that, man. A five every time for that. Just being class on time.
Right.
You can sit down front, five. You cannot talk in class, five. I mean, it's pretty easy. I want to place the child in a place where he can. Rather than yelling and screaming, your afternoon or your evening depend totally on you. This little piece of paper here that we've worked out with the teacher, totally on you. It also gives the teacher an opportunity to say, hey, you sat down front. That was great.
And you make them show these papers to their teachers every day?
The teacher has to sign it every day. It takes about 15 seconds on the way out. Well, I'm embarrassed to have that paper. You only have to have that paper as long as you have to have that paper.
And parents do this too?
Oh, yeah. When they leave here, they do it. Yeah. And many of them say, I need that form for us to launch. Now, if you lose the paper, if the CIA confiscates the paper, if a wolf ate it on the way home, right, that I'm going to assume it was all zeros.
Right.
And you're
so you have to take care of the papers.
Oh, yeah. Well, if I gave you a $100 bill at the breakfast table and said, show me this at the end of the day, you can keep it, you'd keep it. And son, I know you hate doing this. This is for you. And when you've gotten it down, then we're just going to do it on Friday. Mm-hmm. And when you've gotten it done, we're going to drop the paper altogether.
Mm-hmm.
But then it gives us the opportunity to cheer. This is awesome. This paper is absolutely awesome. Mm. You're on. You're going for it. You know what? Finish the week like this, and we're down to just Friday school report. Mm-hmm. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
But when you come in the door, you know, or I pick you up, or off the bus, turn it in. And when everybody else is asking you, why do you have to have that paper, dude? Dump it on me. I'm okay with that.
Right.
Because all I want is effort from you. Mm-hmm. But I want to cheer. And when all of a sudden you see a dramatic with your child, a dramatic turnaround where we are doing effort.
Mm-hmm.
We're not making A's, we're doing effort. That's the time to go for Jamba Juice, all right? And, you know, mm-hmm, I always say Jamba Juice, and my kids always laugh when they hear that because we went for ice cream. Jamba Juice sounds healthier. We actually went to Baskin Robbins and went for Max.
Okay, to
Max,
be honest fat, here.
Yes, yes, Max, total Max. Yes. So I think realizing my kids desperately need a fan. My kids, they want to do effort. They just don't know how to begin, and they've gotten caught with idiots that don't do any effort. Mm-hmm. They work hard at non-effort. They go overboard. How can we be late to class?
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever it is. You know, you're running around on the soccer field, and you got in, and you gave it your all. Wherever it is. I saw you come in the house, and instead of dumping your backpack there, you took it to your room. That was awesome. As a parent, we have to decide we're not here managing behavior as much as we're managing ourselves. And we're managing ourselves to look for positives, look for positives, look for positives. Thank you for taking your backpack.
Right. I've just seen a lot of situations also where there's guilt involved too. You say, don't you, man, I wake up every morning to take you to school. Or look at this. I sacrifice all my evenings to come over to these soccer games and you can't even give your best. Why can't you give your best on the field? If look at everything, our whole family is here. I've spent money on this. You know,
that motivates me about as much as paying for grades.
That didn't motivate you?
None, zero, zip. Because so is it all about you? I did this and I did that and mm-hmm, we did that. Well, Mom, is there anything about me? I mean, is that really why I'm playing soccer? I mm-hmm, I picked you up. I did this. I did that. Guilt doesn't work.
Mm.
Guilt works only when you're watching me. If you're going to motivate me with guilt, it's only when you're watching me. And remember, everything we do, we want to launch towards Christ. I don't want to live a life of fear and guilt. You know, I don't think that Joseph didn't sleep with Potiphar's wife in Genesis because of guilt. When he said, how could I do such a thing and sin against God? I think he was going back to the original dream of those wheat stalks. I know God has a dream for me. How could I ruin that?
Mm-hmm.
How could I do such a thing and sin against God? I don't think it was a fear thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was, no, my father has a plan for me.
Mm-hmm.
And my father thinks I'm special. And so I don't want to motivate with guilt, and I don't want to motivate with money. You know, you get this grade, I'll give you this money. I don't think that works.
No, prizes. I mean, I've seen it happen. The kids get motivated for an iPod.
I think it's very short term. I think it's very short term, and that's it. What every child wants is what every spouse wants, just to be loved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if that's what marriage was all about, then I'd save up my money and buy my wife a big car. And having her even say this last little Nissan, if this means you have to go out and speak more, I don't want this car.
Wow.
Well, Rosemary, you actually have no options. It's time for a new car.
Right.
Everybody just wants a relationship. Can I be somebody special somebody?
Mm.
And Mom, I want that. And I got to tell you, if I'm a daughter and I'm not your special somebody, there's a little boy out there.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be special to him and I'll perform for him.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's all about performance and I can't perform up to speed, I can perform for that other 15-year-old at school, that boy. We don't want to do that.
How does that work out then? Because I've seen other cases also, some kids that I know where their parents are divorced. The kid maybe sees his dad every other weekend or whatnot, and he's buying his kid. You get good grades, good. I'm going to buy you this and buy you that. And really, that's the most, I mean, what else can he do as a dad? Buy prizes because you only see him every other weekend and you just
he
have a good
time. He can
do
a lot more as a dad and shouldn't do that. It shouldn't be Disney dad. So what am I, dad? Is that it? And as a kid, I am going to ask for those because I'm a kid and I'm going right. to want those because I'm a kid. And can I have this and can I have that? And all of a sudden we have a business relationship. We don't have a real relationship.
What does that do to them later on in life?
Well, it teaches the child that that's all you be good for or all you try for. And it teaches the child that's all dad's good for. Dad's an ATM machine, basically, and I show up and I have to learn the formula to get from Dad. I have to learn the passcode to the ATM machine called Dad.
Mm-hmm.
No, and if Dad gets them on the weekends, his number one thing, if he loves those children, is children obey your mom. That's his number one. As mad as he is at her, he will never say anything negative about mom. He will constantly back up mom. Realize this is the ideal and rare scenario.
Right,
I hear
right.
that. But if we're talking your example, he really loves his kids. What can he do? He cannot be the Disney dad. If he really loves his mom, he can continue supporting her and the kids. He can see that she can get the things. Is that unrealistic? It is not impossible. I've seen dads do it. I know great dads who are doing that right now, mm-hmm. and they get it. Mm-hmm. I do know personally two friends who do that, and they're phenomenal, and they've gotten the vision for that. But I think if that's the case, and a single-parent household, and one parent's a very, very poor motivator, that doesn't change me. If I'm the other parent, if I'm the custodial parent, I still am responsible for me. I'm just responsible for me. And I'm a full-time job for me. Being me is exhausting.
Right.
And so making sure that I'm not going to compete with that other home ever, mm-hmm. ever concerning these children.
But is it really that bad to motivate your kids, though, with things? Because that's what they do at school. That's what you, even at church, hey, you know what? You memorize this many Bible verses and you get a chocolate. I mean, they're little steps, but I don't.
The chocolate's okay. But the real thing is they're waiting for somebody to come over and say you did a great job. Everybody's waiting for that.
So that's
Well, there's never enough things. Where does it stop? If I'm living my life for things, where are the things?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm the first NFL player to get a $1 million contract, and I should be ecstatic till I see that 2 years later, these guys are getting $4 million contracts. How much is enough?
Yeah.
I mean, don't I remember? I'm twice your age, so I remember. I can't wait for the day I'm making $15,000 a year. I'll be set for life making. It's never quite enough.
Right.
If I want to make my child feel life is all about things, that means that why would we ever go do anything for free?
Mm-hmm.
Why would we go on a mission trip? You know, it's the little kid walking with his dad one Saturday to a barn that burned down and building the barn up for that competitive farmer. Mm. Why are we doing this? Because his barn burned down. How much do we get? We get to do it. It's awesome. We get the best pay there is. We're doing it for God.
Yeah.
We get to do it. So I don't want to motivate my child with things. I want to motivate my child with, this is awesome. And so I think I motivate my child with me. This is awesome what you did. Let's go get a Baskin Robbins. Now, there was a time when I took Tori. I said, this is awesome. And you know what I'm thinking? I want to do something fun. I want to go buy you shoes. Or whatever it was. I don't even remember what it was. I think it was shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And she's looking at me like, who did a brain transplant on my dad? And just walking through a mall, getting some funny food. And I just wanted to be together.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted her to know how precious and valuable she is. That's everything. If you know you're somebody special, somebody,
mm-hmm.
it changes the world.
What happens when you, now I'm just getting a little older here. You have that teenager. You haven't done this. They're rebellious. They've gone out.
Yeah.
She came back pregnant or, you know, whatever. How do you motivate your child to turn their life around when they're still in your care?
I'm there. Let's say I have a daughter who comes home pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And the first deal we're going to deal with is abortion, no abortion. And she's making the decision to keep the baby. That's a major right there. Honey, this is unbelievable that you're doing this. I know it could be easy to make the wrong decision, but wrong decisions, as we know,
mm-hmm.
are always easy to make. Right decisions are often hard decisions. And then I think I'll walk with her. Forgiveness is forgiveness. Let me say this again. Forgiveness needs to be forgiveness. Joseph's brothers tried to murder him and came for help,
mm-hmm.
and he forgave them. And when they said later on, we're terrified, Dad's dead, what are you going to do with us? And he says, oh, you kidding? What you meant for horrible, God used for awesome.
Mm-hmm.
My God? To take this matter in my own hands, I've forgiven you.
But then, you know, this whole thing of motivation, sometimes they do come back. They've done something really wrong.
Absolutely.
And you have proper discipline, but
yes.
then also motivation
yes.
to
yes.
keep.
When those kids come home and they didn't make any effort in school and got all bad grades, they cut the grass. But I'm not part of the consequence. I'm not yelling and screaming at them.
Mm-hmm.
They're cutting the grass. I'm going out to see how they're doing. And I want to place in their head, you did this to you. You put you behind the lawnmower. I didn't put you behind the lawnmower.
Yeah.
So that's a demotivator.
Mm-hmm.
But I want them to know you will never lose me. I will always love you. As much of an idiot as I am, you will never lose me. And my role model for that is Jesus looking out from being on trial there and seeing Peter deny him 3 times. I don't even know him.
Wow.
After he just finished saying, you kidding? I will go with you to the death, Jesus, just hours before. My Father will never leave me or forsake me. I want to be that kind of dad.
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. And we're wrapping up a week about motivating your child. What are ways to do it? What are poor ways to do it? And we hope it's been an encouraging series for you. You can find this entire series online at parentingtoday.org. Catch up with the ones that you missed, even Facebook, Twitter it, share it with your friends, and even sign up to get the blog every day in your email box. That's online at parentingtoday.org. If you want to find more resources on parenting, even marriage as well, you can find that online at Sheridan House Family Ministries website. That's shfm.org. And we hope you'll join us again next week for another series here on Parenting Today.